Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ervin, Daf Pei Aleph. Again, today is Zayin Cheshvan, Sunday when I'm dictating this, and it is the yard site of Rav Meir Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, the Lublin Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi Moment. And again, we're dedicating the shiur, Lili Nishmaso, HaKidosha, and all of the people, the hundreds of thousands of people around the world learning the Daf Yomi, should bring him a tremendous aliyah. We begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Omud Beis. The Mishnah tells us, Bakol me'arvin u'mishtatvim. You're allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros and a sheet of Mavoyos out of any type of a food, except Chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech. The only exceptions are you can't use water and you can't use salt. But any other type of a food is acceptable according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which is Divri Rabbi Eliezer. You can make an Erev Chatzeros as well. We have other opinions that we've learned previously, and we'll learn again now, that say that an Erev Chatzeros has to be bedavka out of bread, and a sheet of Mavoyos can be out of any other type of food. But the simple reading of our Mishnah right now is that Rabbi Eliezer holds that both an Erev Chatzeros and a sheet of Mavoyos can be made out of any food, with the exception of water and salt. However, Rabbi Shua disagrees. Rabbi Shua is the Bali Plukta of Rabbi Eliezer throughout Shas, and he writes, Kikar hu Erev. You must make an Erev Chatzeros with a kikar, with a loaf of bread, and as we'll see, it means a whole loaf of bread, so there's a requirement that not only that it be bread, as we'll see in a second, has to be a whole loaf of bread. And the Mishnah tells us, afilu ma'afei saw, even if it's a huge loaf of bread made with a saw's worth of flour, but v'hu prusa, it's not an entire shlema, so then ein ma'arbin bo, you're not allowed to go and do this. The Gemara will tell us that this brings about Eva. This will bring about potential conflict between people. The Erev Chatzeros is supposed to bring about unity. And if one person gives in a whole bread, another person gives in a piece of bread, so this could lead to Eva. This could lead to hatred and disunity and the importance of unity. That is what an Erev Chatzeros is all about. So, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it must be an entire loaf of bread, even if it's smaller. As he says, kikar ki isa, even if it's only the size of an isa, but it's a whole loaf of bread. A kikar means a whole loaf of bread. A prusa means a part of a bread. So the prusa, even if it's very large, is no good. And the kikar, if it's very small, is good, as long as hu shalem, as long as it's complete, ma'arbinbo, it is perfectly acceptable to go make an Erev Chatzeros with. However, Rashi just points out that you need to have enough. If it's a very small bread, you still need to have a grogeris worth of food for each person until you reach 18 people, like we learned in yesterday's shiur. So if it's like an extremely small entire loaf of bread, so it's like a morsel, that's not going to be good enough unless you have a shiur of a grogeris. But a shlema is acceptable, a prusa is not acceptable, even if the prusa is much larger. Mara tells us, we already learned this, tenina chadozimna, we already learned previously in the Mishnah on Dav Chavov Amud Beis, Bakol Me'arvin U'mishtatvim, you're allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros or a sheet of Avodah out of anything, Chutz Min HaMayim V'Melach. So why are we saying over here, again, the same thing? It's seemingly repetitious. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, no, this is Lafukim in the Yeshua. The Gersa that we have, and Rashi will explain another Gersa in a second, is that this is coming to teach us, not like Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer, disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Domar Kikar in Midyachrina Lo. The opinion of Yeshua is it must be bread and it must be a shleima as opposed to anything else. So, kamash ulon bakol. Therefore, the Tanakhama is telling us that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Yeshua. Now, wasn't that the simple understanding? So, Rashi brings down over here, no, that you might have thought that in Daf Chavav it was dealing with Erev Tuchumim. And therefore, as Rashi says, Hosam hu Erev Tuchumim maskinon. And only over there, maybe, there, when you're not having any concern about Eva, it says, my personal Erev Tuchumim. So in that situation, a person is allowed to go, Bakol Ma'arvin. And even over there, Rabbi Yeshua agrees. But one might have thought, Ki Hocha, Be'er V'Chatzeros, the time of Mishum Eva, because of the concern that it's going to lead to hatred, so, Avol Be'er V'Chatzeros, Emolo, that he doesn't agree. Therefore, Lahochi Hoder Tanya Gabi Chatzeros. That's why he's telling us that even the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer says, even by an Erev Chatzeros, Bakol Ma'arvin. And that's a machlokis that Rabbi Eliezer has, even Rabbi Shua, by Erev Chatzeros, not just by Erev Tuchumim. That's the Girsa that Rashi says is our Gemara's Girsa. But then Rashi says, Lishna Achrina, there's another Girsa. This alternate Girsa says that Lafukim the Rav Meir, this is coming as to teach us, as opposed to Rav Meir, who said, Da'amar bepas in midyachrina lo, the Perek Hadar, that he specifically states, you must use pas for an Erev Chatzeros. So, Kamash Milan, Bakol, it's telling us here that this goes against Rav Meir's opinion, and Rashi says, Vihihi, it doesn't make any difference. Both of them are essentially saying there was another opinion that you might have thought would say that you could do an Eruv Chatzeros only with bread. So here, this is coming to tell us that the Tanakhama, Rabbi Elez's opinion, Bakol, even applies to an Eruv Chatzeros. Now the Gemara questions this. Esvi Abaye says, it tells us, Bakol Ma'arvin Eruv Chatzeros, there is a Braisa that says, you're allowed to make an Eruv Chatzeros with Bakol, with anything. And it says, "Ubakol mishtatim shitufim avoyis." You can also make a shitufim avoyis with anything. But then it seems to internally contradict itself. It says, "Velo amru li'arei bepas el b'chatzim avad." Says that which we hold that you have to use bread is for an eruv chatzeros, only an eruv chatzeros. Now this seems to be internally inconsistent. First it says bakol, then it says only with pas. So man shamis le diomar pas in midech rina lo. Whose opinion is this that it says it must be only bread? Rabbi Yeshua. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. But v'ktani bakol. But it says that you're allowed to do everything. So what's going on over here? So maybe it means bakol means with any type of bread. It doesn't mean any type of food. So when it says bakol ma'arvin, who says that Rabbi Elazar holds it really means any type of food? Maybe it means any type of bread. So the Gemara says, "Elo Amar Rabba Bar Chana." Since you can't bring me a riot from here, so Rabba Bar Chana says, "Lafuki with Yeshua." Our Mishnah repeats what we had earlier on Chavav of Beis to exclude the opinion of Yeshua, who says a Shlema only is good. Yom Shlema in Prusalo. So Kamash Alon Bakol. So Rabbi Elazar disagrees, says that a Prusa is perfectly good. Uprusa, my time alone. We've already explained this outside, but now we see it inside. Why is the Prusa no good according to Rabbi Yeshua? Amar Rabbi Yosi Ben Shua. Amar Rebbe, Rav Yossi ben Shaul, says the name of Rebbe, Mishum Eva, again, because of this potential hatred that could be engendered if one person puts in a Shlema and another person puts in a Prusa. As Rashi says, Sheboin li machlokis, it can lead to a conflict in machlokis. Shomer aninos in Shlema vata Prusa. I'm giving whole bread and you're giving a Prusa. Right, we learn in the Gemara and Brachos, it's nicer to make a bracha on a Shlema than it is on a Prusa. A Shlema has a certain niceness to it, it's a better piece. So therefore, if somebody says, hey, I contributed to Shlema, you only contributed to Prusa, it's going to lead to Eva. And again, the whole purpose of the Eruv Chatzeros is to lead to unity. Amli Rav Acha, Bered Rav L'Ravashi, Rav Acha, who's the son of Rav, says to Rav Ashi, Irvu kulam beprusas. What about if everybody uses a prusa? So now nobody can have Eva. Well, will you give a shlema? No, everybody gave a prusa. So is that good? Mahu, would that be acceptable? You said, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that everybody must give a shlema. But what happens if everybody gives a prusa? Not some giving a prusa, some giving a shlema. So Rav Ashi says, Amalei, no, that's still not allowed because, well, in this case, everybody's giving a prusa. Next time, somebody's giving a prusa and somebody's giving a shlema. Shemiyachzu dovelukul kulo. It's going to lead to trouble. As Rashi points out, that in this situation, next time, somebody's going to give a parus, somebody's going to give a shlema, and it's going to lead to trouble. Our Rav Yochanan ben Shaul says, we just had above, Rav Yossi ben Shaul, so now maybe this is his brother, Rav Yochanan ben Shaul, nitlai menu, if you have a piece of the entire loaf that was removed, how much kidei chalosa, the amount that you take off of challah. Challah, again, is one of the matnos kahuna. It's like truma, and you take off from a dough that you're making when it's a significant size, roughly about 5 pounds in our terminology today, a certain number of eggs in the time of the Gemara. So then, if you make a dough of that size, so then you mechuyif to take off some and give it to the kohen. You make a bracha, you mafrish chala, as it's called. And if you have this size of a piece missing, nitla imenu kidei chalasa, or uchidei dimua. Now, dimua is when something gets mixed in, truma gets mixed in with chulin. So if it's more than 100, so then you take off one piece and give it to the kohen, so the kohen doesn't lose. But technically, it's no longer truma. The truma is batel in the 100. So this dimua means you're taking off a small amount, the amount that fell in there, so that the coin doesn't lose out. But technically, it's all chulin. So in these situations, when you have a dough, and you're removing the challah, which matters the rest of the dough, or you're removing a piece of the dough, so you're giving it to the coin so that the coin doesn't lose out, and then the rest of the dough is now matired, so then ma'arvin lobar, then you can use a prusa in this situation. That's what Rav Yochanan ben Shaul tells us, that these types of a prusa are acceptable. These are essentially matiring the rest of the bread, so therefore this isn't going to cause eva, because now the bread is edible. But the Gemara says, Vatanya, but we learned elsewhere, kidei dibua, if you have this piece of the dough that you're taking off, or the piece of the challah that you're taking off and giving to the kohen, ma'arvin lo bar, you can make an eruv with the rest of this loaf. But it says kedei chalasa, if you have a piece that's the size of the challah that you have to be mafrish, ein ma'avir lo ba. So here it seems to say, okay, for the dimua we agree, but there's a machlokas in regards to the challah. So Gemara says no, lo kasha, that's not a problem. They're talking about two different types of taking off challah. There is the challah that you take off from an individual private person, which is the shear of 1/24 of the dough, and then there's the baker's chiyav. The baker makes a larger amount, so the chiyav is to give to the kohen something nice. So if the baker is making a much larger amount, a smaller percentage will still be a nice prusa to give to the kohen. So the shear for a baker, a professional who's selling his bread, is 1/48. So that's the difference between why, if kedei chalos is taken off, it's good in one brisa, and in the other it's not good. Because lo kasha, habachalas nachtam. When you're talking about a relatively small portion, the 1/48 that you're taking off, so then the remainder is still considered very good and significant. But if you're taking off a 1/24, that's already a sizable piece. So the remainder, that's already going to cause eva. Habachalas balabais. It's going to lead to trouble, and therefore by that it's considered not a shlema. Did we see this in the Mishnah? Did not, because the Mishnah in Chala tells us, shir chala echem yesem yabar. The normal shir for a private person is to take off chala when he bakes a big enough dough, is to take off 1/24 of this. Hosa isal atzmo, if a person makes bread for himself, the isal mishta beno, or he's making bread even for his son's wedding. Mishta beno is normally a reference to a wedding, so the shir is still the same. Echod miyesem yabar. This is a private person, and the shir is always 1/24. However, a baker, a nachtom, shuosilim kor b'shuk, he's baking large amounts of bread for sale in the marketplace. V'cheno isho, or even a private woman, but she's making it to sell. Shuosilim kor b'shuk, so she's like a baker. So in these situations, the shear is echon me'arboyim ushmona. They only take off 1/48. So therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul said that you're allowed to go take off challah, and that doesn't ruin the bread, he was talking about the professional amount, the 1/48 amount that the baker or the woman selling for public consumption, so they're only taking off 1/48. That type of a prusa still could be used for an erech haseros. But if it was a private person's challah that you took off, and you took off a 1/24, so now that remainder is a prusa and isn't good. Amar Chisda, what about if you had a broken loaf, but you put it back together? In other words, tefara bekisa. We learned elsewhere, in a similar situation, does it make it into a shlema in regards to the Ilchus Brachos? Does it make it into a shlema in terms of Lecha Mishnah? So if you can put it back together with some sort of a splinter, basically, some sort of a kisame that will make it look like it is a hole. So Rashi explains, Kikor Shenifrasa, you have the roll, the loaf that broke, the Tofar HaPrusos, you sort of say sewed up the two pieces, the kisame with some sort of a connecting piece, a splinter, the nearest shlema, and it looks like a shlema. So that's what Rav Chis is asking. If you did this, ma'arvin lo ba, he says that this is a perfectly valid shlema for the Erev Chatzeros. Ay, v'tanya, ay, ma'arvin lo ba, but we have a brisa that says against Rav Chis that you're not allowed to. So again, Rav Chis will answer, lo kash, it's not a problem. Depends. Is it noticeable or is it not noticeable? Ha, di, dia, tifra. If you can tell that it was pieces that were put back together, so then it's no good, because that's a prusa. But if it's not recognizable, below the idea, tifra, if you can't tell where it was put back together, in other words, it would look perfectly well like a loaf, a whole loaf, so then it's perfectly good. That's what Chissa said is good, and if it's not recognizable as a full loaf, it's really still, well, it's two pieces that were just put together, so then it is no good. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Zera, Amar Shmuel." Rav Zera says, "Name of Shmuel, Ma'arvin bepas orez ubepas dochen." You're allowed to go make an erev chatzeros using not only the grains, the five grains, but you can even use orez and dochen. Now, throughout Shas, we have the machlokas what exactly orez and dochen are. They're normally translated as orez being rice and dochen as being millet, but there are those that say it's the exact opposite. We'll keep it nice and simple. Orez means rice, and dochen means millet. So, Rav Zera says, "Name of Shmuel," that a loaf of bread that you're using doesn't have to be from the five grains. It can even be from rice or millet. And similarly, Amar Marukva. Marukva says the same thing. L'didim, if arshli minei demav shuol, I also heard this directly from Shmuel himself. Bepas orizm arvin, with rice bread is good. However, according to Marukva, he disagreed with Rezera. He didn't hold that the dochen bread Shmuel said was good, but he said that Shmuel told me, bepas dochen ein ma'arvin, and you're not allowed to go make it with millet. Okay, so machlokas between Rav Zera and Marukva as to what Shmuel's opinion was. Furthermore, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ravin, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya bar Ravin says in Rav that likewise lentil bread, ma'arvin bepas adoshim. You're allowed to go make a Erev Chatzeros with lentil bread. Mor says, really? Ini? Are you allowed to use lentil bread? There were lentil breads being sold and used in the lifetime of Shmuel. And Shmuel said, I gave this to my dog. Even my dog wouldn't eat it. So how can you tell me that Rav says that lentil bread is good? It's not even edible for a dog. It's not even royal achilas kelev. So how could lentil bread be good? So Gemara says it depends. When Rav says that it's good, it was pure lentil bread. When Shmuel says my dog wouldn't even eat it, is hayi dishan minim havya. That's when, as Rashi points out, minim harbayum orvim ba. It wasn't pure lentil. It had a whole bunch of things in it. And all of these things made it not very tasty, and even a dog wouldn't eat it. Therefore, you can't use this for an Erev Chatzeros. And where did they get this idea from? From Yecheskel. It says by Yecheskel, he tells Klai Yisrael, V'yatok kach l'chol chitin, u'sorin, u'pul, v'yadashim, v'dochan, u'kusmin, v'gomer. You're going to take this dough, and you're going to make it out of all of these different ingredients, all these different types of grains, the wheat, the barley, beans, lentil, millet, spelt, all these different types of ingredients make a very, very bad loaf of bread. And therefore, that isn't good for an Erev Chatzeros. And that is what Shmuel was referring to. But Rav, when he gave, he said that lentil bread is good. That was pure lentil bread. That's okay. Rapapa Mar, in addition, what was bad about the bread that Yecheskel Hanavi is talking about is Hai Tzuluya Bitzoas HaOdom Havoy. That bread that Yecheskel was telling them is a horrible bread, and you're still not even going to be able to eat that bread. So that was made, it was tsluya, it was roasted with the human excrement, b'tzoas ha'odom. And the pasuk says, d'chsev, v'hi b'galele tseas ha'odom t'ugeno le'aneim. And you're going to go and bake it over here with glolim of human excrement, with pieces of human garbage, of excrement, and it's going to be le'aneim right in front of you, and that's all you're going to have to eat, and you're going to be in a very bad state. Furthermore, the pasuk says, "My ve'ugas saorim tochlena." It says you can have saorim, that's barley. Now, if you're telling me it has all of these things in it, why are you calling it ugas saorim? It should have been this ugas mixture, this ugas tarovis. So we have two answers. Amar Chista, the answer number one is it means lishiurim, not saorim, but the word should be lishiurim. Rashi says, "Hai saorim lav dafka dehoshar minim tuva habuba." Ella lishiurin tochlena mishkal derech reyava v'lolusova. You're going to have so little of it, you're going to have to measure it out and apportion it out. You're not even going to have a lot of this. So that's what it meant. Ugas saorim. It was ugas shiurim tochlena. That's teretz number one. Rapapa my teretz number two. Now the gears that we have is arevaso karevas saorim v'lo karevas chitim. The gears that we have is that its shape, the areva, the shape of the dough would be the shape of barley bread, which is not very nice, as opposed to the shape of wheat bread, which is very nice. As Rashi says, it's muguna velo yofe. The barley bread was made in a shape that wasn't as nice as the wheat bread. That's the gersa we have. On the side it says, instead of the word arevasa, it should be arichosa. It's putting it together, it's kneading it, it's laying it out, that was like barley and not like wheat. So in both of these situations, the Teirutim of Rav Chista and Rav Papa, they explain furthermore what it means, ugas saorim, even though it was a tarovis of many different types of species. Now we do the next Mishnah. The Mishnah starts and says, Nosin odom mo'aluchen voni v'lanachtom, a person who wants to participate in Erev Chatzeros can give money to the storekeeper or to the baker, that kidei sheyizkeh lo erev, and that he should go and use that money that he's giving him to use to buy bread to participate in the Erev Chatzeros. This is the opinion of Divrei Elazar. However, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim, no, won't work. Lo zochu lo ma'osav. Giving money over here doesn't work. Why is that? So Rashi explains, she'ein mo'os konos, midirabbanan. We'll see midiraisa, they are kone. Money is kone midiraisa, but midirabbanan, for reasons that the Gemara will explain, because a person will then be very lackadaisical about taking care of his friend's item that he, the friend, now owns because he paid for it, but it's in your silo, and if there's a fire there, you won't be rushing to put it out because it's your friend's. It's not yours. You're not suffering any loss. So therefore, midirabbanan, the rabbi said, she'ein mo'os konos, until you do a meshicha, Ad sheyimshoch. If you do a meshicha, you pick up the item, so then the money is now konit. Vafilu irev hachenvani hazeh l'chol acher. And even if this chenvani was in charge of the erev chatzeros, and for everybody else, he gave for free their bread, v'zika gam l'zeh, and he even did a zikoy for you too. Eino erev. You aren't considered participating, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, because you didn't intend to. You didn't want to take anything for free. You don't want to take any presents. And therefore, you told the Chenvini, I want to pay for my Erev Chatzeros. Not like everybody else is getting it for free. I want my money to buy me the Erev. I don't want to be relying on your favors. And therefore, the Chacham say, he doesn't acquire it. Because the most ain't okonos. And therefore, lo somche daite, he wasn't relying upon him giving it to him. And therefore, he wasn't acting as his shaliach to go and do it because he didn't assign him to be the shaliach. So it's shelo midaito. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, it is no good. Lo zochu lo ma'osav. The ma'osav don't work in this situation. We turn to the Amud Beis. Mishnah continues and it says, umodim bishar kol ha'adam. However, if this wasn't a chenvani, if this wasn't a person who does professional business, selling stuff, but you gave it to a friend and say, here's my money, go and include me in the Erev Chatzeros, shezochel amosav, in that situation it does work. Rashi explains that this is a person telling his friend to be basically acquire for me the Erev. Now, he's telling him essentially to be a shaliach, ela lasoso shaliach. So therefore, it works in this situation. He's giving him money to go and do this for him. So that's why it works for somebody who's just a balabayis and not somebody who's a chenvani or a nachtom. So in this situation, zochel ma'osav. She'ein ma'arvin la'odim el midaito. And this, as I've already explained, explains why it didn't work in the first case with the money and why it works in the second case with the money. The first case with the money, he wasn't making him to a shliach. The money's not koneh, and therefore, when the person does it on his behalf, he wasn't a shliach, and it's considered shelo midaito, and it's no good. The second case, though, when he gave him the money, it is a valid shliach, and therefore it works, and it's considered midaito. The Mishnah continues and says, "I'm Rav Yehuda, but Medvam Ramurim." Rav Yehuda qualifies this, and he says, "Under what circumstances are we saying that he has to be a shliach on your behalf? It has to be midaito. That's only in regards to Rav Yehuda says be'erivei tchumim." Because that could be good for you or bad for you. So therefore, you have to agree to it and have to want it. However, in regards to the Erev Chatzeros, there's absolutely no harm done by having the Erev Chatzeros. You can even do it because of the principle, so you can even be mezakeh for somebody without their permission. However, but you can't do something that's detrimental to somebody without the permission, and by changing his focal point, you may be ruining it for him. He can no longer go 2,000 amas in that direction, and that's the direction he also wanted to go. So therefore, with regards to an Erev Tchumim review, this says, you need to have das. But in regards to an Erev Chaseris, where there's no harm done, so therefore, you don't need das. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, my time of the Relezer. What was the reasoning why Relezer said that the person can pay with money to the chenvani or to the baker, and it does work, as opposed to the chacham who said it doesn't work. After all, doesn't Rebbe Lezer hold it? Moros are not konos, and therefore he didn't do meshicha, so why aren't the chachamim right? Why does Rebbe Lezer say it works? So Rebbe Nachman, Rabbi Baravo, he explains as follows. Aso Rebbe Lezer kedalid prokim bishana. This is equivalent to the four times in the year when you can force a person to go and be an owner in meat. What do we mean by that? So Tosos reminds us, in the top Tosos over here, these Arba Prokim are dealing with four times during the year when a person definitely wants meat and you can force the butcher to shecht meat. Normally a butcher will say, listen, if I get enough buyers, I'll go shecht this cow. They didn't have refrigeration. So if I don't have enough buyers, all the cow's meat is going to go to waste. So I'm going to wait till I have buyers. That is a perfectly legitimate excuse for a person to say, I'm not going to shecht now, here's your money back, even though you gave me money, I'm not going to shecht now. Except four times during the year, when we have the special time where we're concerned with osav yesbinos, since so many people go and shecht, you have to inform somebody that, listen, the mother of this cow was shechted today, so therefore you can't shecht this baby cow today, or vice versa, because of the dinner osav yesbinos, you're not allowed to shecht the mother and the child on the same day. So in that parak, Vosav Espino, it tells us that on Erev Yontav Rishon Shal Pesach, there was a lot of shechting going on. and Erev Yontif Shel Atzeres, and Erev Shavuos, there's a lot of shechting going on. So right before Pesach, there's a lot of shechting going on, and right before Shavuos, there's a lot of shechting going on. The Erev Yontif Achron Shel Chag, and likewise, Shmini Atzeres, the last days of Sukkot, there's a lot of shechting going on. And also, the Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Erev Yom Kippurim, Begaliel, there's a lot of shechting going on. The Lo Chashav Erev Yontif Rishon Shel Chag, why not the first days of Sukkot? So, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Yishum de Kuliyama, Tridi Besukkah Velulav, Ein Lehem Pnei, Lahabos Beshchita Lukach. In Erev Sukkot, there were so many things going on in terms of building the Sukkah and getting a Lulav and Esok, etc. So, therefore, they didn't do a lot of Shechting then. But at these other times, these other Erev Yom Tovim, they did go and Shecht a lot. And therefore, the halacha is that if a person went to the butcher and gave him a dollar and said, I want a share of meat, I want a dollar's worth of meat, $5, $10 worth of meat. So, normally, we say that the rest of the year, the butcher can return the money and say, you don't own the meat. But here, the person can demand that the butcher shecht the animal, even though he's going to lose a lot of money, because that's my animal. I own that part of the animal, and I want it shechted. So the Gemara now explains this, that we're dealing over here with the Arba Prokim Bishana. This is a Mishnah in Chulin, where it tells us, Bedalid Prokim Elu, at these four times, which we just mentioned in Tosos, Mashchitin es HaTabach Bal Kochi, you can force the butcher to go and shech the animal, even though he's going to lose a lot of money. And even, Afilu Shoved Elef Dinar, the cow, is worth 1,000 dinar. Then Lokech, and this guy has purchased only 1 dinar's worth, Elo Dinar Echad, nevertheless, Kofen Es Olishcho, since he bought it, and this is the time that everybody shechs, so he can force the butcher to go shech this animal on Erev Pesach, let's say. Lefikach in mace, but this has a downside for the person as well. If this animal dies, we don't say, well, where's my dollar? I want my dollar back. No, your dollar's worth of animal died as well. Mace lelokeach. So we force him to get the good. He can force the butcher to go shech, but he also, therefore, is considered an owner. And when it dies, he lost his money, and the butcher isn't obligated to give him back his money. Now, when it says, mace lelokeach, how can it be he didn't do meshicha halo moshach, he just gave him the money? So Rav Huna says, yeah, he did a Mashiach. But then the Gemara says, then keep on reading. In that Mishnah and Chulin, keep on reading. Ihochi Ema Sefer. In the Sefer it says, B'shayi Mosa Shona Eino Kein. The rest of the year, it's not true that if you gave money to the butcher, he doesn't have to go shech the animal. So for you, that's not good that you can't force him to shech the animal. Lefikach, however, it's good for you. In Mace Lamocher, his animal died and you get your money back. But the Gemara questions, if Rav Huna is right that it was a Mashiach, Amai, Ha Moshach, he did a Mashiach, so why should he get his money back? So obviously it's not talking about Mashiach. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Liolam Mishalom Moshach. Rav Huna was wrong. We didn't do a Mashiach over here. So how come in the Dalit Prokim, he in fact is considered an owner if he didn't do a Mashiach? Oh, here's the answer over here. Hochid Mayaskinon, B'shezik Eloi De'acher. Somebody else made an acquisition for him. And b'dalit prokim elu, this chusulo, since during these dalit prokim, as Rashi says, it's darkon for people to go shecht and to have shakol darkon mikach. Everybody wants basar at this period of time, to have basar on yontiv. So b'dalit prokim elu, this chusulo, it's his chus for him. So this person can be mizaki on his behalf, zoch liyodim, shalom b'fonav. As the Gemara says, zoch lo, shalom b'fonav. So this other person can acquire it for him, even though he doesn't know about it, even shalom b'daito. But the rest of the year, not during the Dalit Prokim, B'shayim Osa Shana, the Chovulo, hey, if the animal dies, I lost my money. That they can't do. Ein Chovulo, Ela B'fonov. So therefore, you see that it all depends. Is it a Zchus for him or not? So Rabbi Elazar holds that in this situation, it's a Zchus for him, and therefore the Erev Chatzeres is a Zchus for him, and that's why the person can acquire it on his behalf, the Erev Chatzeres for him, even Shalom B'daito. He didn't make him into a Shuliach. That's teretz number one, how the Dalit Prokim work. But Rav Elam, Rav Yochanan, gives a different reason for why the Dalit Prokim works. He says, B'dalit Prokim Elu, Hamidu Chachamim Divreim on Divrei Torah. As I already pointed out, Minat Torah, if you give over money, you in fact acquire something Minat Torah. So as soon as you gave to the butcher the money, you acquire that animal. So that should be that animal, that part of that animal is now yours. So how come it's not true for the rest of the year? It's only true during the Dalit Prokim. The Amr of Yochanan, Devar Torah, Mos Konos. As I just said, Midoraisa Mos normally work. But the rabbi said, we're going to change that. Mibnei Ma'u Mashiach Kona. Why did the rabbis insist that he do Mashiach and not be Kona with the money? Because of this Gezeira, Shema Yomalo, Nisfu Chitech Baliya. You know what? The guy's going to buy $100 worth of wheat that you have in the silo. So he now owns the wheat in your silo. And guess what? You don't live near the silo, and the silo gets on fire. And you say, I'm not getting out of bed in the middle of the night to go and put out the fire. Let the guy that bought it put it out. So therefore, this gezeira, Shema Yomalo, sorry, buddy, nisfu chitecha baliyah. Your wheat, since you already bought it, it's now your wheat, it all burned down. And since the owner will not have a real incentive to go and save it, so therefore the rabbi said, no, we'll make you have an incentive to save it, because guess what? Midrabanan, the money is not kona until he does a mashicha. So if he does a mashicha, then he'll have to go and save it. But until then, you have to go and save it. So therefore, the rest of the year, Rav Elo and Rav Yochanan says, the din is that you need a kinyan mashicha. But during the Dalit Prakim, when it's definitely Zochin Liodim for this person to go and have the meat, so the rabbi said, in this situation, we'll let the original Din Daraisa stay in place. Bottom line is, according to both Terutzim, that's Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning in the Mishnah for why he says that when he gave the money to the Chenveni, so it does work for him. Then we said in the Mishnah, Umod Mishar Kolodim, that even the Chachamim Umod to Rabbi Eliezer, that if it's not a Chenveni, if it's just a person, that giving over the money works. Who are all these other people? Man Shor Kol Adam. Amarav Balabais. Don't matter, regular Balabais. Not a Chenveni. Not a person who does this for a living. Shmuel agreed with Rav and said, it's talking about a Balabais. Don't matter, we see the Shmuel said this. Lo Shono La Nachtom. We only said this for the Chenveni or for a Nachtom. But those are people that go and sell these items. So therefore, when you're purchasing it, you didn't make a kinyan in it yet. And you didn't ask them to be a shliach for you. Therefore, it's called shalom kedaito. That's what the Chacham said by the Chenveni of the baker. Abu Balabai is kone. Since you don't normally buy from this person, so obviously you gave him the money to be a shliach. V'yomar Shmuel, lo shanu elamah. Even in this regard, when you gave over money, it's a problem only when you're giving over money, that the Chenveni or the Nachtom, so it doesn't work, and for the Balabais it does work. Avo Kli Kone, but if you gave over Kli, in other words, you did what's called the Kinyan Chalipin, so I'm giving you the Kli, with that you're acquiring for me the Erev Chatzeros in my name, so then that does work by a Kli. That's called a Kinyan Chalipin. V'yom HaShmuel, Lo Shanu El Adom Elo Zecheli. And even when you're giving it over to the Chenveni or the Nachtom, it doesn't work if you said, go and buy for me this piece of bread, because you don't own the bread, and you basically are saying, I don't want you to go and make a kinyan for me. You didn't give him permission to do that. So it's in the case where he said, Zecheli, it doesn't work. However, Avol Amar, Arivli, he said, do me a favor, make this for the Erev for me. So then he's essentially designating even the Chenveni or the Nachtom, Shaliach Shavya, Vikani, and it does work in that situation. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda qualified the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda b'medvar memurim, under what situation did the Tanakama say that you need to have permission? It was only by Erev Tuchumim. And on this, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, the Amora, Rav Yehuda, don't get mixed up between the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, so he has a Rabbi with a Yud at the end, and the Amora, Rav, so Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, so Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the Halacha is like the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda be'erivin. Wherever you find in the entire Masechta of Erivin a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Kamosa, we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. So this is what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel told us. Now, Amalei Rav Chana Bakto'or L'Rav Yehuda. Rav Chana Bakto'or, the simple understanding is that he came from Baghdad, but elsewhere we have that he was a Baki in Agarata, and that's why he was known as Rav Chana the Baki in Agarata. In any event, this Rav Chana said to Rav Yehuda, the Amora, you're telling me that Shmuel said that we passed like Rav Yehuda the Tana? Under all circumstances in Masechta Erevin, is that really true? Afilu b'mavi shenitlu karosa v'lechayav, even in the case where a mavi lost on Shabbos the lechi or the korah that matted it, do we paskin like Rav Yehuda over Rav Yossi? We normally paskin like Rav Yossi over Rav Yehuda. So Amalei, so Rav Yehuda the Amora said to Rav Chana Baktor, he said, no, I said by Erevin, not Masechas Erevin. I was talking about in regards to halachas leading to an Erev Chatzeros, or an Erev Techumim, the Erevin Omarati Loch, not Masechtas Erevin, below b'mechitzas, but not in regards to a mechitza. Lechi Rekor is acting as a mechitza, and there we pass like Rav Yossi, Lav Davka, like Rav Yehuda. Abalei Rav Acha, Bereid Rav Rav Ashi, Rav Acha, who was the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi the following, halacha, when you say over here, Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana on Mishnah, it implies halacha, you only say the halacha is like somebody if somebody argues with him, Miklad the Plegi. But We have a further statement from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that says, whenever we use the Lashon of Bamed Dvar Mamurim, it means there's no machlokas. It's just an explanation. It's just a qualification. Vam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, komokum shom Rabbi Yehuda, whenever the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, the Lushonus of either a Mosai or Ubamed Dvar Mamurim, b'mishnasenu, in a Mishnah, eno lefarish, it's only coming to qualify or to explain, but not to argue with the Tanakhama. So how can you tell me, oh, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that implies that he's arguing with the Tanakhama, but he used the lashon of Bamed Dvar Mamurim, and Bamed Dvar Mamurim means he agrees with the Tanakhama. So why is paskining over here like Rabbi Yehuda? There's no reason to paskin. There is no machlokas. Shmuel says, really? V'lo pligi? There isn't a machlokas, but we just learned in yesterday's shir, vo'anan tinan nitosu aleim, we said that if additional residents moved into the neighborhood, so then you have to go and add on to the Erev Chatzeres for them. Mosif umezake, v'tzorech lodia. And that clearly is different than the opinion that we're saying over here, that you don't have to. So how can you tell me that there is no machlokas? Of course there's a machlokas. Gemara says, no. The Mishnah from yesterday, Hosom Bechotzer Shebein Shnei Mavos. That's when these new people came in, so they could go to the left or to the right. Their Chotzer that they moved into could have made a Sheet of Mavoyos with the Mavoy on the right, or they could have made a Sheet of Mavoyos with the Mavoy on the left. That's why they had to know. But otherwise, in a situation where they didn't have a choice, so then there is no Machlokas. Where it says, still, Rav Shizbi said in the Rav Chisda, we had this yesterday as well. So Meres, Chalukin Olav Chaver of Rabbi Yehuda, that this, in fact, is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chaverim. So he Dafka says that there is a machlokas over here. So how can you tell me, whenever it says, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, there's no machlokas? So Gemara says, you're right, Elo, we turn to the Omer Aleph, Pei Beis Omer Aleph. Gavra, are Gavra Karamis? You're asking me a Shaila from one Amora to another Amora. You're saying, Rav Shuvan Levi says this, and Shmuel says this. That's no problem. Marzavar Pligi, or Marzavar Lo Pligi. So they disagree on how to understand the Mishnah. One says Rav Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama, and one says Rav Yehuda is not arguing with the Tanakhama. Rav Shuvan Levi says, Bamed Dvar Mamur means he's not arguing with the Tanakhama, says there's no argument. And Shmuel says that there is an argument, so therefore there's no problem. Now let's go back and analyze this. Gufa, when we say Gufa, it means we're going to repeat what we just said. Gufa. Amar Rav Shuvan Levi. Rav Shuvan Levi says, Kol Makum Shamar Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. Whenever the Tana Rav Yehuda says in the Mishnah, the qualification of a Masai or Ubamed Dvar Mamurim, so, and he says this in a Mishnah, B'Mishnah Seinu, Eino El Lefarish Dibri Chacham. He's explaining the Tana Kama. He's explaining the Chacham who came before him. That's the opinion of Shuvan Levi. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, when he says a masai, yeah, that means lafarish. However, if he uses the lashon of bamed dvar mamurim ubameh, that comes lachlok. So it's not as expansive as Rav Shuvan Levi to say that it's always going to be a qualification or an explanation of the Tanakhama. Only if he uses the lashon of a masai, but not if he uses the lashon of bamed dvar mamurim. Now they both agree that a masai is a qualification or an explanation of the Tanakhama. Is that really true? The Masai Lefarishu? But I'll show you that that's not true from the following Mishnah Sanhedrin. Votnan, the Eilin Apsulin, the following people are no longer able to be Eidim because they've done various things that cause them to question their honesty. So, for example, Hamasachi Pekuvia, somebody's a dice player. Umava Beribis, or somebody who goes and lends money Beribis. Warren Sanhedrin explains that if these were all Yisrum Daraisa, of course they would be not eligible to be an aid. So all of these in this Mishnah are actually Yisrum Derabbanan. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through why they're all Yisrum Derabbanan only and not Yisrum Deraisa. Furthermore, Mafricha Yonim, somebody goes and he uses pigeons in races. So he's racing pigeons. Or Vesochi Shvius, or he's involved in selling Shvius merchandise. Again, all of these are only Yisrum Derabbanan. That's what the Mishnah states. The Tanakhama states that all of these people are not good for Eidus. Amr Yehuda, he comes and qualifies this. He says, "A Masai, when is that true? Bisman she'en lo umnus eluhu." He. That's, for example, when the person is gambling, either the Masachi Bekuvio or the Mafricha Yonim, if they're gambling, so they're only possibly Eidus if they have no job. However, Avo Yeshla Umnis, they have another job, but here they're getting together with their friends and playing some cards. Avo Yeshla Umnis, Shalohi, that's not gambling, Harei Zekosher, they still remain kosher for Eidus. Now, clearly, Rav Yehuda is qualifying over here the Tanakhama. But, Vitani Alo Bebraisa, but there's a Braisa that says that the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, because there's the opinion of the Chachamim no, Bein She'ein Lo Umnis Elihi, U Bein She'esh Lo Umnis Shelohi, Harei Zepasul. There is a Tan in the Brisa that says, no, even if the person has another job, he's not making his money off gambling. So therefore, the gambling is just for a relaxation. Nevertheless, if you gamble, you're going to be usher to be an aid. So clearly, there is somebody that argues Rav Yehuda. Isn't that the Tana Kama? So the Gemara says, no, that's a different Tana. The Tana of that Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Yehuda is qualifying his statement to say, if the guy has a job, and therefore he's just having some fun playing over here, so then anything that he does, yeah, sure, it's a $5 ante, no problem. I'm not doing this for my living. The guy's a high-stakes poker player, that's his job. So then, he is possibly a this. That Tanakama in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with him, and he's just qualifying him. But the Tana and the Braisa, that's a different Tana. Hi, the Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Tarfani. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying over what Rabbi Tarfan said, the Tanya, who holds that whether you have a job elsewhere or not, now, where does he get the shita from? The gambler, if he has another job or not, is considered possibly eidos. It's from the following statement, that when two people were together, and they saw another man coming, and Reuven and Shimon are there, and they see this other guy coming. So Reuven says, I'm going to be a nazir if he's a nazir. And the other one says, I'm going to be a nazir if he's not a nazir. And what's the din in this situation? Rabbi Tarfon says, Lolam ain't echad mehem nazir. Neither of them is a nazir. Why? Because lefish ain't nazirus elul hafla. Because the nazirus must be explicitly expressed without any doubt. And here, there's a doubt. Was this guy a nazir? Is this guy not a nazir? And therefore, alma kiven de misafkale I naziri lo nazirhu, since it's not clear, did he or did he not make a nazirus, lo mishabed nafshe. He didn't really fully say, I'm going to be a nazir. And that's with gambling. When you put in your ante to gamble, you're assuming you're going to win. Nobody goes into a gambling and assumes they're going to lose. So therefore, when you put in the money, you're saying, I'm just putting that in because that's the rules of the game. But of course, I'm going to take it back when I win. So therefore, lo mishabi nafshi, this is called asmachta lo kanya. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfon holds that anybody who gambles, whether that's their pranosa or not, isn't really putting in the money. Just like the Nazir, he didn't explicitly state, I'm going to be a Nazir no matter what. He said, oh, I could be, I could not be. And therefore, lo mishabe nafshe, hochanami. So too in the gambling case, kim the liyada ikon ilo koni, he doesn't know he's going to win, he's not going to win, he assumes he's going to win. Lo gomar makli. Therefore, he didn't really put in his money full-heartedly. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda brings down the name of Rabbi Tarfon. But the Tanakam in the Mishnah, when he said, a masai, that Rabbi Yehuda is modifying him to say, no, it depends. If his life is a gambler, his professional income is made through gambling, so then he's possibly aidus. But if he's just having a good time, playing a little bit of a game, putting in a little money, so then he is putting in the money, and he's not expecting necessarily to win, and if he wins, he wins. If he loses, he loses, and therefore, in this situation, he's not possibly aidus, because he really gave over the money. Hadron Alecha Chalon, Hadron Alecha Chalon, Hadron Alecha Chalon. With this, we conclude today's share. Again, we learned the Lili Nishmas, Hagoyin Hatzadik, Hakadosh, Rav Meir Shapiro, Zecha Tzadik, Kosh Lerocha, Lulubina Rav, the founder of the Daf Yomi movement.